Hey, God bless you guys. Good morning. Welcome to Summit Church Online Campus. This is mysummit.tv. Maybe you're joining us for the first time. If so, I want to say how glad I am that you're here. I was gone last week. Lisa and I got to sneak away for a weekend. Much needed time away and a little bit of rest. And thank you for letting us do that. Pastor Dave did a great job, great message. So we appreciate him speaking last week. And if you missed it, make sure to go back and catch that. Hey, I'm excited today because we're beginning a brand new message series. This is, of course, Super Bowl weekend, but I hope you're prioritizing God first, God's house first, God's word in your life first. And that means you're probably going to have to fight with your priorities a little bit. And speaking of fighting, this phrase has not really left our culture. It seems to continually come up in every new generation, and it gets repeated over and over again, and it never really kind of grows tired. It gets used a lot. And the expression you're probably familiar with is, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And we usually see that in some pending conflict that's about to happen. There's somebody bumps into a guy in a bar, and the guy turns around and he's ready to fight, and the other guy says, hey, listen, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And that's sort of the phrase that gets repeated. And I don't have to really explain it to you because it's kind of self-evident. What it means is we choose between, if you're a lover, then you're consequently not a fighter. And if you're a fighter, then you're consequently not a lover. And that's not really true. Actually, that's ludicrous because it presumes that if you love someone, you won't fight for them. Or if you love something, you're not going to fight for them. To say, I'm a lover, not a fighter, really says, I love you, but I don't love you enough to fight for you. I don't love you enough to fight for us. I don't love you enough, really. I love you just enough to not really do anything for you. And I want to talk today about what it means to be a lover and a fighter, because listen, I believe this to be absolutely true, that you and I will become fighters for that which we love, whether it's a principle or a habit in our life or a value or a moral or someone that we love. When we love, we are fighters. We have to be. And I'm going to tell you three reasons why we have to be, that God shares in His Word, that hopefully we'll be a good agent to convince you and I that loving means fighting. There are things that we fight for that are not worth fighting for. And then there are things that are worth our effort, that worth our energy, worth our fight. And so grab your notes if you don't already have them out. You can do that right on your app and in our live service, in our in-person service. Of course, we have physical notes, but for you at online, grab that online app. I have to fight for the things and the people I love. I have to fight for them because, number one, I'll only fight for what's truly important to me. I only fight for what's truly important to me. So I've had the opportunity to sit down with, and I really do mean innumerable amounts of couples over decades of being in ministry, sitting down with those who were getting ready to get married. Maybe they were in a serious dating relationship, or maybe they were engaged. More likely, I was doing some premarital coaching with them, or possibly they had been married for some time, and they were maybe feeling like they were off track with where they should be, and so they wanted to get back on track. And so no matter who they are, if they're a couple and they're human, then there's conflict, there's fighting that goes on. And so one of the questions that I tend to ask is, okay, well, you're probably here because you're probably fighting about some things and you're not feeling like those fights are being resolved. You don't feel like they're getting you anywhere. So what is it that you're fighting about? And with very, 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 very few exceptions, almost no exceptions, but very few exceptions, people will say something to this effect, whether they are dating, engaged, or have been married a short time or a long time, they'll say, you know, truthfully, most of what we fight about is just silly, stupid, irrelevant stuff. It's unimportant. I almost hear that every single time. Well, you know, most of what we fight about is stupid and unimportant. And I share something with them in that moment that they probably had not considered to that point, and it's this truth. If it were stupid and unimportant, you wouldn't be fighting about it. Because the truly stupid and the truly unimportant things to us, we won't put in the effort to actually fight about it. Now, hold on, listen. I'm not saying that we don't fight over objectively stupid things, and I'm not saying that we don't fight about objectively unimportant things. We fight about unimportant and stupid things all the time. What I am saying is that if they were unimportant and stupid to us, especially in that moment, then we wouldn't make the effort to actually fight about them. Here's the truth. What we fight about reveals our priorities. What we fight about reveals what our priorities are. What we fight about reveals what matters to us most. What we fight about exposes what we care about. What we fight about reveals that we care about one thing more than the other. I'm not telling you that those things aren't stupid and aren't unimportant. I'm just telling you they're important enough for you to fight about. It's more important sometimes for us to be right in an argument than it is to move forward in our relationship. We're so committed to being right and the other person being wrong that we don't care about the health of the relationship as much as we care about proving that they're wrong and that we're right. That's what I'm saying. That's dumb. That's stupid. That's unimportant to do that, but we'll do that because it's more important to us. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. If you try, you'll wind up loving the first master and hating the second, or vice versa. People try to serve both God and money, but you can't. You must choose one or the other. In this case, Jesus is talking about the priority we put on money, but let's be honest, money is not the only thing that takes priority in our life. Jesus is talking about serving God or serving money. The reality is our entire life is made up of choosing between that which is most important to us and everything else that is less important to us. Life's always been about choosing between right and wrong, or the good thing versus the very best things, or choosing between our long-term health and wholeness, or choosing between instant gratification, choosing what we can see and touch and feel versus what we have to have faith to believe exists. Choosing between our way and choosing between God's way. Life is always about choosing what's most important to us. And I'm going to tell you this, you can know what's most important to anyone, including you, according to what you're willing to fight for. What you're willing to prioritize above everything else, that's what you're going to fight for. Number two is this, I have to fight for the things and the people I love because what I care about most is in the greatest danger. What I care about most is in the greatest danger. So over the last year, and especially in the months that led up to our most recent presidential election, I heard, as you did, countless numbers of celebrities and news people and coworkers and family members and friends and siblings and spouses and even those you go to church with feverishly panting about standing up and protecting, fighting for the things that we believe that we were going to lose based on how the election turned out, whether we were going to lose our First Amendment rights, our rights to free speech, or whether we're going to lose our Second Amendment rights, our right to bear arms, whether we were going to slide into socialism if one candidate got elected, or whether we were going to be in a tyrannical dictatorship if the other candidate was reelected, or we're going to lose our democracy altogether if one candidate wins over the other candidate. And then we said, this is the time we have to stand up. This is the time we've got to fight. If not now, then when? And now listen, hold on before your veins start popping out of your head and you have a stroke and you start going, oh, that's true. We gotta stand up and fight. Listen, you might be surprised to find out I absolutely agree with you. I absolutely agree that all of the things that we could potentially see happen and all of those scenarios are possible. We could slip into socialism. We could lose our First Amendment rights. We could lose our Second Amendment rights. We could have a tyrannical dictator. We could have all of these things, lose our democracy. Those things are possible. Here's why. Because politicians are people elected by people, and people are flawed. And we've come up with innumerable, incalculable numbers of broken systems of government. So it's absolutely possible. So anything in that kind of system can go wrong at any moment. But what I'm about to tell you is the truth you need to hang on to. You may not have noticed this while everyone was huffing and puffing in news interviews and on news shows, and while coworkers were kind of going on their rants around the water cooler in the break room. Is there still water coolers? I don't know if there's still water coolers. Yeah, we actually have one in our office. So they're there in the water. Nobody talks around it, but there are arguments that are happening. And while somebody's posting the most recent article that confirms their already held biases, and we all get worked up, and everybody who agrees with us post an agreement paragraph there, we get into these heated arguments. While all of that was going on, while people were burning down cities and people were storming the Capitol, while all of that was happening, I want you to listen. While we were fighting this monster and that ghost, while we were believing that all of this was being taken from us, there is a very, very real enemy and a very, very dangerous enemy that's actually camping out in our homes, who's listened to me, who is plotting, sneaking, conspiring, and marking for destruction your marriage, your kids, your mental and emotional health, your faith, your friendships, your finances, and everything else you care about. I want you to listen to me. While we are trying to protect all of this out here, what's happening inside of our homes is there's a very real and a very dangerous enemy who is looking to destroy what you care about the most, what matters most to you. Listen to 1 Peter 5:8. Most importantly, be disciplined and stay on guard. In other words, stay intensely focused. Because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around outside like a roaring lion, just waiting and hoping for the chance to devour someone. Listen, the most deceitful, sinister, diabolical, and effective strategy that the enemy has is convincing you to believe that there is an enemy out there that's more dangerous and more urgent than him. Let me say that again. All he needs to do is get you distracted and fighting battles that you have no business fighting, fighting for things that aren't as important to you as your own marriage, your own kids, your own faith, your own home, your own emotional, spiritual, and physical health, and the health of those who you care about the most. The enemy just needs to keep you unfocused or steer your focus off to battles that you don't belong in because you're losing the battle right there at home. Listen to Jesus' words in John 10:10. The thief approaches with malicious intent, looking to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I came to give life with joy and abundance. Now, before we move on to the final point for today, I want to leave you with some truths that I think you need to think about as you start getting yourself worked up about what you see on the news, because that's their job, is to keep you worked up, keep you distracted, do a bunch of nonsensical things so that they can appeal to your emotions. That's their job. That's what they get paid to do. And we fall into that trap. But I want you to turn off the TV and start, turn off your laptop, turn off your iPad, and start thinking about this. Nearly half of the people who get married will fail in that marriage to remain married. Nearly half of marriages will end in divorce. You have a very real and a very dangerous enemy that hates you and hates your marriage and is targeting your marriage. That's a threat that actually exists. 32% of millennials struggle with their faith and believing that there is a God at all. And you say, well, that's those millennials. That number is up from 17% just back in 2017. So the very real and very dangerous enemy is targeting the faith of your children, and their children. If he has his way, he will absolutely rob people of their faith, destroy people's faith and belief in God. During 2020, anxiety disorders and depressive disorders skyrocketed to incalculable numbers, exponentially multiplied over and over. Drug abuse, alcohol abuse, suicide, and other forms of self-destructive behavior, listen to me, increased in astronomical numbers. There is a very real, a very dangerous enemy that has targeted the health of you and your family. You have a very, very, very real enemy. But I'm going to tell you, that enemy does not exist in Washington, D.C. That enemy is camped out on your front lawn and is trying to make his way into your home to destroy you and everything you love. You have to learn how to fight for what you truly love, because what you truly love and what's most important to you is most in danger. And third and finally is this: I have to fight for the things and the people I love, because nothing of any value comes without a fight. Nothing of any value comes without fighting for it. Listen, I love simple things. I love things that I can remember. I have a very scattered mind. I rely on a couple people close to me to remember things for me. But there's a couple things that I can remember on my own, and those things are really simple, easy to remember things. And they're usually things that challenge me or inspire me, things that I want to be able to repeat. And you know what? There's a lot of things that make me feel better about myself or make me feel better about my situation, that those are the things that I'm drawn to. And I go, oh, I'm going to remember that quote, because that quote speaks to me in my situation. But I'm going to tell you something that I need to learn and you need to learn as well. Not everything that inspires us or is easy to remember is actually truth. I'm going to say that again. Just because it fits on a Facebook meme or it's on Instagram or it can pop up on a 30-second TikTok does not mean that it's actually true. We like information to line up with prejudices that we already have. We like information to affirm what we already believe in our moment. If our circumstances are going one way and we want to shift those circumstances, we don't like the way life is going for us in that time. We love to believe quotes like Henry Ford's when he says, "You are the master of your fate, the captain of your soul." Ooh, I like that. I could see that on a really inspirational poster, or maybe a nice framed thing I can hang in my office. You are the master of your fate, the captain of your soul. In other words, I'm in charge of my life. I decide how it goes. I'm not going to let anyone or anything run over me, right? But when something goes wrong in our life, and it's possibly because we've maybe not acted in our own best interest, we've made some choices that have led us to the consequences that we're in the middle of, we like John Lennon's quote when he says this: "There's nowhere that you can be that you weren't meant to be." There's nowhere that you can be that you weren't meant to be. Ah, it makes us feel so much better that even though we did whatever it was that blew up our life and landed us in these circumstances, this is exactly the way things were meant to be. I mean, I'm regretful I blew up my marriage. I'm regretful I blew up my finances. I'm regretful I blew up my family. I'm regretful I destroyed things that were valuable to me. But you know what? All things are for a reason, and I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. I hear people say it all the time. I wouldn't change anything in my past because it made me who I am today. We love sayings that make us feel better about where we're at in our own lives. But I want to quote some scriptures to you. You can see them there in your notes. Proverbs 12, 24. Hard workers will become leaders. In other words, those who put the work in will actually lead in their circumstances, lead the relationships around them, become influencers over their own lives. But those who are lazy will be slaves. If you want to be sure to stray completely from God's highest and best destiny and plan for your life, let me say that again. If you want to stray in the complete opposite direction of God's highest and best for your life, then be sure to simply sit back and wait for God to drop his destiny in your lap. Just commit to doing nothing and letting God do everything. Just say, "Lord, I'm going to sit back, and whatever happens to me, I'm just going to say that's your will." Listen, we don't lose the things that are valuable to us because it was meant to be. We lose the things that are valuable to us because we didn't put up a fight. I want to read this passage to you from Colossians 3, 23 and 24. So no matter what your task is, no matter what you're doing in life, work hard. Always do your best as the Lord's servant, not as man's, because you know your reward is in the Lord's inheritance. Everything you do, fight for it. That matters to you, whatever you're doing, believe that it will move you forward in achieving God's highest and best. Listen, you have to fight for what matters to you, because only the good things are worth fighting for. Only that which matters to you is worth fighting for us. The marriage we want, the family we want, the health we want, the influence we want, the family we want, the finances we want, the life we want, those things are worth fighting for. But I'm going to tell you, you won't get the marriage that you want. You won't get the family that you want. You won't get the finances or the life that you want unless you're willing to fight for it. We have become a nation, and I'm as guilty as anybody else. I love the idea. We just ordered a rowing machine, an exercise machine for our garage so that we can hop out there and just do some exercises with. We've got a rowing bike or whatever those are called, a spinner bike. I don't even know what they're called, but you can tell how much I use it. And I ordered it like 8 days ago and it hasn't shipped yet. I can't even wrap my mind around the fact that this hasn't shipped yet. Because we've become a people that have become so accustomed to the Amazon Prime convenience that we click a button one day and whatever we ordered is on our porch the next day. But I'm going to tell you this, all that is worth something, all that has value in your life is not delivered by an Amazon Prime truck. The life God's highest and best that he created for you is worth fighting for, and it's going to take a fight because there's an enemy who wants to rob you of that. There's somebody else who wants that life. He wants to steal that life from you. He wants to steal your marriage from you. So everything that's worth something in your life is something that you're going to have to fight for. It begins with prayer. It begins with knowing God's word. It begins with knowing how equipped you are. It begins with putting on the full armor of God. And you can't do that if you don't know God, if you don't know his word, and you don't have an intimate relationship with him through prayer. Can I pray with you right now? And we're going to begin this commitment together. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for this online community that's fighting for their faith in the difficulties and the circumstances that surround us, God. But we commit ourselves to not surrendering, to not sitting back and just waiting for life to happen to us. But rather, God, we want to be the leaders that Proverbs talks about, that those who are willing to work hard become the leaders, those who are willing to fight for the quality of their life, the life that they want, the marriage that they want, the finances that they want, the parenting experience that they want, those who are willing to put in the fight, become influencers and leaders, and those who are lazy, God, will live in the poverty of having nothing valuable. And so, God, we commit ourselves to not being those kind of people that sit back and let life tell us what's worthwhile, let life tell us what's valuable. We're not going to fight fights we're not supposed to be in. We're going to fight for our own home, our own marriage, our own kids, our own finances, our own faith, and our own health, because that's what's under attack by the enemy. Give us, God, the faith. Equip us with your word. Draw us into prayer so that we can be equipped to go into battle, God. We believe for it. We thank you for it. We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.